I saw then in my dream that they walked until they entered a country where the air tended to make strangers drowsy. And here Hopeful began to feel listless and sleepy, and he said to Christian, "I feel so sleepy that I can hardly keep my eyes open. Let's lie down here and take a nap." "No, we cannot," said Christian, "for if we sleep here, we may never wake up again." "Why, my brother," said Hopeful, "sleep is sweet to the working man. We will be refreshed if we take a nap. Do you not remember that one of the shepherds told us to beware of the enchanted ground?" asked Christian. By that he meant that we should beware of sleeping. "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." "I acknowledge my weakness, and had I been here alone, I would have risked the danger of death by sleeping," said Hopeful. "I see that what the wise man says is true. Two are better than one. Up to this time, your company has been a fortunate circumstance for me, and you shall have a good reward for your labor." "Now then," said Christian, "to keep from getting drowsy in this place, let's have some good discussion." "I agree wholeheartedly. Where shall we begin?" asked Christian. "Where God began with us. But you begin, if you please." "First, I will sing you this song," said Christian. "When saints do sleepy grow, let them come hither, and hear how these two pilgrims talk together. Yea, let them learn of them in any wise, thus to keep ope their drowsy, slumbering eyes. Saints' fellowship, if it be managed well, keeps them awake, and that in spite of hell." Then Christian began and said, "I will ask you a question. Why did you first think of doing what you are doing now? Do you mean, why did I begin to be concerned about my soul?" asked Hopeful. "Yes, that is what I mean." Hopeful said, "For a long time I enjoyed those things that were seen and sold at our fair, things that I believe now would have, had I continued in them, destroyed me." "What things?" asked Christian. "All the treasures and riches of the world. I also delighted in debauchery, partying, drinking, swearing, lying, immorality, Sabbath breaking, and every other thing that tends to destroy the soul. But by hearing and considering divine things, which I learned about from you as well as from beloved Faithful, who was put to death at Vanity Fair for his faith and goodness, I discovered at last that the end of these things is death, and that for these things the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience." "Did you immediately come under conviction?" asked Christian. "No," said Hopeful, "for I was not willing at first to recognize the evil of sin or the damnation that results from it. Instead, when my mind was initially shaken by the word, I tried to shut my eyes against the light." Christian asked, "But what caused you to maintain this attitude before God's blessed spirit began working upon you?" "Well, first," said Hopeful, "I did not know that this was the work of God upon me. I never realized that God begins the conversion of a sinner by first awakening him to sin. Second, sin was still very enjoyable to me, and I didn't want to leave it. Third, I did not know how to part with my old companions, for their presence and their actions were so desirable to me. And fourth, the times when I was under conviction were such troubling and frightening hours that I could not bear even the memories of them." "Then," said Christian, "there were times when you were not troubled." "Oh, yes, but then it would haunt me again, and I was as bad, no worse than before." "What was it that brought your sins to mind again?" asked Christian. Hopeful said, "Many things, such as, one, if I met a good man on the streets, or two, if I heard anyone read the Bible, or three, if my head began to ache, or four, if I was told that some of my neighbors were sick, or five, if I heard the bell toll for someone who had died, or six, if I thought of dying myself, or seven, if I heard that someone else had died suddenly, eight, but especially when I thought of myself, and that I must soon face judgment." "And could you ever easily get rid of the guilt of sin when any of these occurrences brought it upon you?" asked Christian. No, I could not, said Hopeful, for they were gaining a greater hold on my conscience, and if I even thought about returning to sin, though my mind was turned against it, it was doubly tormenting to me. And what did you do then? I thought I must try to change my life, otherwise I thought I would surely be damned. And did you try to change? Yes, I tried not to sin, said Hopeful. I avoided sinful company. I began performing religious duties such as prayer, Bible reading, weeping over my sins, speaking the truth to my neighbors, and so forth. These things I did, along with many others, too numerous to relate. And did you then think you were all right? Yes, for a while, said Hopeful, but then my trouble came tumbling upon me again, despite all my changes. How did that come about since you had now reformed? Well, several things brought it upon me, especially such sayings as these, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. By the works of the law no man shall be justified. When you have done all things, say, we are unprofitable, and many more like this. From there I began to reason with myself, if all my righteousnesses are like filthy rags, if no man can be justified by obeying the law, and if when we have done all we can, we are still unworthy, then it is foolish to think we can get to heaven by the law. Furthermore, I thought, if a man runs up a bill of £100 with a shopkeeper, and after that he pays for everything he buys, but still owes his old bill, the shopkeeper can still sue him and send him to prison until he pays the debt. How did you apply this to yourself? Asked Christian. Hopeful said, Why, I thought I have by my sins run up a great charge in God's book, and my reforming now will not pay off that debt. Therefore, I should continue with my present changes, but how shall I be freed from the damnation I have brought upon myself by my former transgressions? A very good application, but please continue, said Christian. Another thing that has troubled me, even since the recent changes in my life, is that if I look carefully at the best of what I do now, I still see sin, new sin, mixing itself with the best of what I do. So I am forced to conclude that even if my former life had been faultless, I have now committed sin enough in one action to send me to hell. And what did you do then? Asked Christian. Hopeful said, Do. I did not know what to do until I shared my thoughts with Faithful, for he and I were well acquainted, and he told me that unless I could obtain the righteousness of a man who had never sinned, neither my own nor all the righteousness of the world could save me. And did you think he spoke the truth? Had he told me this when I was pleased and satisfied with my own improvements, I would have called him a fool. But now, since I saw my own frailty and the sin that clung to even my best performance, I was forced to accept his opinion. But did you think, when he first suggested it to you, that a man could be found of whom it could justly be said, He never committed any sin? I must confess the word sounded strange at first, said Hopeful, but after we talked more and I spent more time in his company, I was totally convinced of it. And did you ask him who this man was, and how you could be justified by him? Asked Christian. Yes, said Hopeful, and he told me it was the Lord Jesus, who dwells at the right hand of the Most High. You must be justified by him, by trusting in what he alone has done during his life on earth and his suffering on the cross. I asked him how that man's righteousness could justify another before God, and he told me that the man was the mighty God, and that he had done what he did and died on the cross not for himself, but for me. And if I believed on him, his righteousness would be applied to my account. And what did you do then? I stated my objections against my believing this, because I didn't think the Lord was willing to save me. What did Faithful say to you then? Asked Christian. Hopeful said, he told me to go to Christ and see. I said I thought that was presumptive. He said no, it was not, for I was invited to come. Then he gave me a book of Jesus, his authoritative word, to encourage me to come freely. And he said that every jot and tittle of that book stands firmer than heaven and earth. Then I asked him what I must do when I came to him, and he told me I must kneel down and plead with all my heart and soul for the Father to reveal him to me. Then I asked Faithful how I should approach him, and he said, go, and you shall find him upon a mercy seat, where he sits all year long to give pardon and forgiveness to those who come to him. I told him that I did not know what to say when I came, and he told me to say, in effect, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and help me to know and believe in Jesus Christ. For I see that without his righteousness and my faith in that righteousness, I am utterly lost. Lord, I have heard that you are a merciful God and have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior of the world. And moreover, that you are willing to bestow him upon such a poor sinner as I am, and I am a sinner indeed. Lord, take therefore this opportunity, and magnify your grace in the salvation of my soul through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And did you do as you were told? Yes, over and over and over. And did the Father reveal his Son to you? Not at the first, nor the second, nor the third, nor the fourth, nor the fifth. No, nor at the sixth time. What did you do then? Why, I could not tell what to do. Did you think of not praying anymore? Yes, 100 times over. So why didn't you stop? I believe that what I had been told was true, said Hopeful. That is, that without the righteousness of this Christ, all the world could not save me. And therefore I thought that if I quit praying, I would die. So I will die at the throne of grace. And with that, this came to my mind. If it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So I continued praying until the Father showed me his Son. And how was he revealed to you? Asked Christian. I did not see him with my earthly eyes, but with the eyes of my understanding. And this is how it was. One day I was very sad, sadder than at any other time in my life. And this sorrow was the result of a fresh glimpse of the magnitude and vileness of my sins. And as I sat there expecting nothing but hell and the everlasting damnation of my soul, suddenly I saw the Lord Jesus Christ look down from heaven at me and say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But I replied, Lord, I am a very great sinner. And he answered, my grace is sufficient for thee. Then I said, but Lord, what is believing? And then from the verse, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I recognized that believing and coming were the same thing, and that he who sought after salvation through Christ with his whole heart, he indeed believed in Christ. Then tears came to my eyes, and I asked, but Lord, can such a great sinner as I really be accepted by you and saved by you? And I heard him say, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Then I said, but Lord, how should I think of you when coming to you so that my faith is in you? Then he said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. He died for our sins and rose again for our justification. He loved us and washed us from our sin. in his own blood. He is mediator between God and us. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And I gathered from all of these scriptures that I must look for righteousness in his person and for satisfaction for my sins through his blood. That what he did in obedience to his Father's law, submitting to its penalty, was not for himself, but for anyone who will accept it for his salvation and be thankful. And now my heart was filled with joy, my eyes filled with tears, and my heart brimming over with love for the name, people, and ways of Jesus Christ.